Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. Drew Nixon producing the show. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 20 minutes. We'll also talk a little KU-MU rivalry, border war tomorrow in Columbia.
Carrington was on Fox 4 today. Wearing?
MU
was
gear.
Was it Red Friday? It is Red Friday.
It's a Red Friday Chiefs show, and he was wearing MU gear. Shocking. He has been invited to Fan Club Friday today in the 1 o'clock hour to wrap up the week of disagreement in our beef.
If he doesn't come in, he'll be officially labeled a coward.
The invite's been extended. We'll see if he shows. It's time to talk it out a little bit in person instead of just throwing shots show to show. You need to work this thing out.
Yeah, in a public forum.
That's right.
The two of you in a studio together. I'll just sit back and relax.
Yeah, well, we'll do that at 1 o'clock. Hopefully he shows up. Let's keep talking some Chiefs, though. It is game day. Pregame begins at 4 o'clock today on 96.5 The Fan for the Chiefs Radio Network. Of course, Josh Briscoe will be hosting pre- and postgame tonight. And he joins us right now here on Cody and Gold. Briscoe, what's going on, man? I know you got to be fired up for this afternoon.
I am spitting excited to get going. I cannot wait. I have made sure that my salivatory glands are exactly where they need to be, and I am ready for the start of this Chiefs season in a big, big way.
Are you an anti-eating before you go on the air? You want empty stomach? How do you handle, what's your game day prep?
That's a great question. No, I am no Scott Hansen. I will try to time out my bathroom breaks, obviously. And I got a new clock tonight. Of course, we've got the full 3 hours of pregame with the two exclusive right here on 96.5 The Fan before the network pregame like we did all preseason. So I will try to time that out. I know we're going to have some food there at the station that I'm going to try to have sustain me. The most interesting part of my game day rotation this year is I just have in my backpack. I have type 1 diabetes. People don't know this. It's fine. I'm managing it well. But sometimes your blood sugar gets low, and you know what you don't want to have happen on the radio? Have a low blood sugar. So my backpack does have a reserve of Nerds gummy clusters that are there.
Oh, those things are great.
Nerds gummy clusters. My blood sugar gets down to double digits instead of being around 100 where it needs to be. I'll pop a couple Nerds gummy clusters, and we're right back on the horse. So that's my special little treat to make sure I'm where I need to be.
I'd like you to have a special pouch for it, almost like a special emergency kit.
I'm also a big possum guy. Possums have pouches. They're America's only native marsupial. I do feel like, I'm also kind of a fanny pack guy.
You.
I might have a fanny pack full of Nerds gummy clusters.
I'm going to personally purchase you a possum fanny pack. It's a pouch that has a pouch just for your gummy clusters.
I do already have one bag with a possum on it, but
I'll
show you what I've got so we can make sure. It's not technically a fanny pack. It's more of a crossbody.
Okay.
So I would love, we could get it. I've got a ton of ideas. We have business ideas coming up. Cody, text me after this segment. Yeah. We'll sort that part out.
Can do.
As far as the game goes, though, Josh, tonight, what's the number one question you still have, I guess, heading in?
I know we've kind of beaten this one into the ground, but the Chiefs' defensive tackle room is so strange right now. We know the Chargers are going to try to run the ball. They weren't very good at doing it last year, but they upgrade the interior, and now obviously Trey Pipkins gets back into the starting lineup at tackle. But there's Derek Nnadi's the only nose on this team right now, and maybe we get the practice squad call-up for Marlon Tuipulotu, I guess, and they kept him over Mike Pinnell, supposedly. But I am a little bit concerned there, as the Chargers, I imagine, are really going to want to establish that that their running game is better this year than it was last year. And that's a lot to put on the shoulders of, you know, not just Chris Jones, obviously, who's established for the elite player that he is. But it's like, okay, Jerry Tillery, you're playing Tershawn Wharton levels of snaps here in this game. Maybe more. Omar Norman Lott's coming in questionable. He's been dealing with the ankle, and I just don't know what level he's going to perform at, banged up in his first NFL game. How much Derek Nnadi are you going to be getting here? So the interior of the defensive line is probably the biggest thing I'm kind of circling with a bit of concern, just because if they have a great game, or if Spags has a little wrinkle for how they're going to deal with the Chargers running game, then I think this should be not a peaceful experience tonight, but hopefully doesn't come down to the final possession. If the Chargers can run up the middle all night, it's going to be a long night.
It's easy to look at your own team in that regard, but for the Chargers' sake, they were one of the best run defenses in the league last year. They lost their big run-stuffing defensive tackle, who is kind of at the heart of that. Should we be looking at on the other side, in the sense that the Chargers are missing a key piece from what was their run defense last year?
Yes, and it's a new-look rushing game for the Chiefs on at least a couple of parts. Obviously, the running backs are mostly familiar faces, but Josh Simmons and Kingsley Suamataia and Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, I'm leaving out Juwan Taylor because it's not the best part of his game, but those four guys are all people movers in the ground game. Plenty of questions about how Kings is going to hold up in pass pro, but if you want to try to create a running game that's more explosive than it was last year but that remains efficient, I think you're leaning on an offensive line that's really built to be able to move some guys around, and then you get the healthiest version of Isaiah Pacheco that we've seen in almost a year. So I really do think, as much as I obviously love Patrick Mahomes, I love Justin Herbert, I love Xavier Worthy and Ladd McConkey. Like, I'm really excited to see how the passing games come together, but I really do think this game starts in the trenches on both sides, and I think both running games are going to have a huge impact.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe here on Cody and Gold. You'll hear him this afternoon. Chiefs pregame coverage for game one begins at 4 o'clock. Also postgame coverage, hopefully after a Chiefs win, to kick off this season. Wide receiver wise, we all know about the Rashee Rice absence and everything, but who do you think, is it a committee here tonight? Who do you think benefits the most heading in? We've been talking a lot about, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster maybe in the first couple of weeks of this 6-game stretch. It's him, and then maybe as we get into this more, it becomes more of a Tyquan Thornton or somebody like that. How do you think the wide receiver snap breakdown and ultimately production is going to be this evening?
I'll tell you what I hope happens, and we'll see, I guess, if it's what it actually ends up being, because I think there are a couple of interesting ways it could go. I think the most important thing is that you hope Xavier Worthy comes out looking like wide receiver one. Not that he has to hold that spot after Rice returns, but like, is Worthy going to be the guy who leads this team in targets today, even as a speedster, who's much more than just a deep threat? We've seen this. Chiefs fans should know this, even though I think it's going to nationally take a little while for him to get that level of respect. Then I am looking at Hollywood and Juju, and Hollywood is such a fascinating guy for me at this point, because I was thrilled when they signed him last offseason. Then obviously he gets hurt the first play of the preseason, and then by the time he comes back, it just feels like the offense had changed too much by that time. The tackle situation was bad, all of that. So I want to believe in Hollywood, but now he misses this year. Basically, everything that he did do last year, he didn't do this year, and vice versa. Obviously, no preseason in either case. So you're saying, okay, well, now Hollywood's available. He's been practicing. Andy Reid says he's good, but he wasn't out there getting the reps in training camp that he got in his first season with the Chiefs. So I hope that it's Worthy, Hollywood, Juju in that order. I think Tyquan Thornton has an important role, and I think if he has two or three targets for one or two catches for 30 to 60 yards, we'll all be thrilled with that. But I hope that Worthy kind of gets that first crack at really being Mahomes' first look most of the time. But I think Hollywood is by far the most interesting next option. It's just a thinner room without Rice being your first guy up. You kind of knock everybody down a spot, it's a great room. You knock everybody up one spot without Rashee Rice, and obviously no Jalen Royals tonight. And you really do need, like, plus level contributor performances from Hollywood and Juju.
When you look at the wide receiver stuff, it's like they've had fast wide receivers over the last couple of years. Xavier Worthy might be the fastest man in the league. His 40 time would certainly suggest he is, but that is not equated to any kind of deep passing game. Is that just as simple as If Simmons holds up, I can anticipate an actual deep ball in an NFL game for what will feel like the first time in 2 years. Or are there other factors at play here?
I think that's the biggest one. I mean, you can go ahead and include Kingsley there too, because a quick loss from the interior is going to nuke anything you had planned. But I really do think that's it. And that third preseason game against the Bears, we saw it on a few drives, and man, it was extremely exciting and extremely nice to see again. The other thing that I'll mention there, since we brought up Thornton a couple of times, is, you know, Justin Watson did this a little bit. MVS did this better, at least before the, you know, catching the football problem was so incredible. Thornton's speed in the respect I think he is going to demand from defenses should make it a little bit easier for Worthy to have more deep shot options himself. It's what happened on that play against Chicago where the safety just has to pick one. Hey, we got a single high look. You're either going to go with Thornton or you're going to go with Worthy, and I'm going to throw it the other way. I think that's sustainable. I think that's something that really can be a calling card of this offense again, even though it's been a long time since the deep ball's been a major part of it. You just need the protection to hold up.
Is there anything from last night's game that now has you, I guess, more intrigued tonight? I'm talking more about, you know, the taunting or even the kicking changes, anything like that, that now you're like, okay, I'm curious how the Chiefs or even the Chargers handle it.
Yeah, the kicking thing is all very interesting. Not just the kickoff rule, which we saw some struggles with last night. It seems like Butker's pretty dialed in on that. But whatever's going on with the kicking ball and like the kicking range extending, I know Brazil's got a little bit of an altitude thing going on. Just some weird stuff there to keep an eye on. I have like a whole sort of ripple effect of Eagles thoughts where I was viewing them in one way in the first half, and then in the second half as the delay came through and interrupted things, I got a lot less afraid of what week two is going to look like. So I think that's fascinating. And we knew when the NFL point of emphasis video came out, like, all right, we're doing taunting again. One of the penalties that they showed in that NFL video with the examples, I didn't think should have been a penalty, and it was one of the examples they used. So I think we're probably in for a long year, or at least a long first 6 or 8 weeks, which kind of tends to be how they do the point of emphasis thing, it seems like. I think it's going to be a while where we're going to see some really frustrating taunting calls. I totally understand. You don't want the gun celebrations. You want to clean up a little bit here and there. Maybe you don't want your players spitting on each other. I totally get that. But I don't need anybody moving back 15 yards for my team or against my team because they flexed at an opponent. It's an emotional game. There's flexing is happening during the play. It's okay if it happens 2 seconds after the play too.
Do you think Jalen Carter should be suspended for next week's game? Not for any particular reason.
I think that if Roger Goodell cares about the sanctity of the game and the kids, Jalen Carter should be suspended for one regular season game. I think two would be an affront. Two would be an overreach. But zero, embarrassing. I think an exact one game suspension for Jalen Carter starting in week two, whoever the Eagles play next week. I think that has to happen.
Hard to say who that is.
Yeah, I'll look it up after. Cody, I'm just focused on the Chargers.
Fair enough.
You and Andy.
Briscoe, appreciate it, man. We'll be listening. I'll be talking to you a little bit later on this afternoon.
I was going to say, you can be listening, but Gold, you need to not be going anywhere. I gotta get a hold of you at some point today. It's going to be a really good show. I'm excited to get going.
Absolutely. There you go. Josh Briscoe, pre- and post-game host for the Chiefs Radio Network. You'll hear him starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon on 96.5.
You going to be on some pregame today?
Yeah, I will be on pregame a little bit with him this afternoon. Looking forward to doing that. Plus, what's at stake? We're bringing that back. Quick little 60 seconds or so betting thoughts heading into Chiefs-Chargers.
Kramer was around here. I was supposed to give him a bet for tonight. I kind of forgot.
He's gone. He's long gone.
He gone?
He's long gone.
Too late?
Yep.
Well, that's too bad. I'll just give it to this show later, I guess. I didn't mean to. I wasn't trying to duck him. We just had a few things.
You gave him your score prediction. You're good.
I did give him a score prediction.
That'll be out later
on tonight. I went high on the point total, so.
That is very true.
So did you. I mean, it's not like I think either of us would have the over in this scenario.
All right, we'll get back to Chiefs in 15 minutes, but let's talk a little bit about the border war tomorrow in Columbia. Of course, our college football coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners are teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your college team. You know which one you should be repping. Catch every play and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanners locations.
Jeez.
Bud Light and
That's
Tanners.
That's a weird emphasis.
From the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters.
I was going to say,
I see how it is.
Cody, we were talking before about how your students, you're having them read through scripts and stuff, and certain words don't need to be overemphasized.
Oh, that was needed there.
I'm not kidding. That's the exact exercise we did in the class yesterday, was reading copy like from the actual show and having them like make sure they don't say like, you know, and emphasize the thing. I think Alex intentionally emphasized Kansas there. I mean, that was very clear.
Yes.
I think that was on a
level from 0 to 10, how excited are you about this game?
I'll be more excited after the Chiefs game tonight. Like, that's just the truth.
So you're probably like a four now, but you'll be like a seven or eight tomorrow.
Yeah, like, if you want my honest answer, like, the Chiefs are playing tonight, guys. That's what I'm most excited about, right this second.
You're going to be locked in ESPN2.
In general, it is no secret, I am far more of an NFL fan than a collegiate sports fan. That's just a fact. Carrington thinks it's funny, but, like, that's just the reality. Like, I care way more about the NFL than college sports. I think Rob and Carrington both probably care more about college sports.
And
Drew, obviously, cares more about college as well. That's fine.
Correct.
But there's no doubt tonight in general, like, the Chiefs got to play first before I really lock in for KUMU tomorrow. But I'm excited. I feel pretty good about Kansas' chances. Let's talk about the game a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the thing. Kansas gets to be and this is always a good spot to be in a rivalry game, in my opinion. Nothing to lose, team. I mean, absolutely nothing to lose. They haven't played football against each other in 14 years. It is in Columbia, which takes the heat off you. They're the more heralded team coming into the year with higher expectations. If they steal a win, it's going to be massive. Now, I'll say the one thing that they do have to is the pressure of Kansas basketball let them down. So, like, they are on the losing end of, if MU gets to restart both basketball and football and has the most recent win in both, the talk between the organizations, right, the schools, get significantly more up. I feel a little more confident after watching Jalen Daniels play. I still think Missouri will win, but I'll say this about Jalen Daniels, which is the question I asked before the season. 3 years ago, Jalen Daniels was a Heisman Trophy, like, top 10 favorite. He looked to be every bit of the goods. There were talks of NFL and everything else, and I haven't seen him play really even mediocre to decent football since. That was the first time, even though it's been games that are against weak opponents. Those are the first two games that I've watched Jalen Daniels look like that dude again. He's fully healthy going into the Missouri game. So in my opinion, they have the better quarterback in the match.
I think they do.
And in a college football game, that goes a long way.
It does. Now, roster as a whole, Missouri has the edge. The, yes. You know, the one thing Eli Drinkwitz has done very, very well is recruit at an unbelievably high level in terms of bringing talent in. They obviously, to me, have not met full-on expectation last year in particular. Kansas does not have the better roster. But I do agree, the quarterback edged with Kansas. Now they're going to go into a crazy environment tomorrow in Columbia. And that's something that this Kansas team has not experienced.
Do Missouri fans go in there, though? Do they give that Kansas energy at Missouri Stadium for a rival that hasn't existed in 14 years?
I think it's going to be extremely hostile tomorrow in Columbia.
It'll be the most ruckus environment in college football tomorrow.
It'll be the toughest atmosphere Jalen Daniels has played in. I don't think that's crazy to say at all. I know they've played in Manhattan. K-State fans are getting upset at me saying that, but I think it'll be the most intense atmosphere Jalen Daniels has played in. How does he handle that? I do think they cover the 6.5. I think they should not be 6.5-point underdogs, but we'll see how it plays out tomorrow. We'll talk to Carrington about it in the 1 o'clock hour if he accepts the offer to come on the show.
That's the thing. The roster is better for Missouri, but the quarterback's better for Kansas, which gives you hope.
Well, I think
coach-wise, dare I say
the wide receiver room, I think, is better for Kansas too.
Yeah, it might
because
be.
Emmanuel Henderson coming over from Bama's looked really good, and Cam Pickett, of course, is also there.
Where are we at on Perbula? That's really part
still
of the question.
I really like Bo Perbula. I think he could be very good for them, but it's still an unknown. I do think this is the matchup that I'm very, very excited to see is the creativity of Jim Zabrowski's offense for that Missouri defense. Missouri's defense last year was top 25 in the country, top in the SEC. They're going to be that way again this year. They are loaded. The games
they can recruit. Missouri can recruit.
KU's got a lot of weapons where, based on how they played the first two games, there's going to be some creativity. They're going to cause Missouri some problems, but I think the game is also very, very close. I think it's the best game of the weekend, which, again, goes back to the
game day
should have been there because it's the rivalry. It's going to be the best game of the day. The environment is going to be ruckus. And also, they're on ESPN2, which I think is also embarrassing.
Yeah, what the hell? They don't even get ESPN Game Day, and then they're sub-channeling them?
Yeah, I'm very surprised that they disrespected both programs in that way.
It's one of the, and the rivalry. Oldest rivalries in all of college sports. Up until it got canceled due to the Missouri going to the SEC, it was like the second longest continuous rivalry, right, in all of the sport.
It goes back to the Civil War, which is just, it's to think about that with college football is insane. Like, it's existed that long.
It was
long.
Funny hearing some of the players this week talk about the rivalry. Like, yeah, I thought it was just a football rivalry or sports rivalry. I didn't realize
they're learning it.
Some of them did not recognize.
Border War was the name of this thing for a while, for a reason.
Yeah, legit issues between the two states.
I will say this. As much as people don't like Paul Feinbaum convinced the SEC Network crew to go to Columbia. They were going to go to Lexington for Ole Miss and Kentucky, but Paul Feinbaum convinced them to go to Columbia for that rivalry because he was like, guys, you don't understand how intense this is. Like, the hatred is just the same as Alabama, Auburn, and the Iron Bowl. They hate each other, KU fans and MU fans. I didn't realize it either until you get to this week and you see the promotional videos and all that stuff. It is crazy.
It's the biggest rivalry in the city that has lasted my entire lifetime. Like I said, NFL rivalries and baseball rivalries, I think those are based on which teams are good. Kansas could have 2 wins in football or 10 wins in football or 2 wins in basketball or 100, you know, it doesn't matter. They still want so bad to beat each other. Like, they still hate it so much. So, like, that's, you know, that's what makes the game interesting.
Real quick before we get to trash. After the game on Instagram Live, I'm going to go live on the station's channel. So if you have Instagram, go follow the Fan 96.5. Right after the game, we'll be reacting live for like 10, 15 minutes to whatever happens.
Nice.
Keep an eye out for that. Drew will be given a full breakdown. Also, he's got a new episode of his podcast out this week, 249 miles.
Yeah, predicted
miles
the game as well on there.
Who'd you predict to win?
Missouri wins by one, 28-27.
By one?
And I think if Kansas scores,
Kansas
by the
goes
way,
for two at the end and fails.
If Kansas scores 24 or more points against this defense, you should be very encouraged as a Kansas fan, even if they lose.
Trash of the day.
Just quick, if time expired, they score a touchdown, and it's 28-27.
Go
you
for
want to
it.
Go on for two?
Yes.
You're on the road.
You go for the win.
I'm asking
you.
You're
on the road. You're going you for go. Two. Absolutely.
You're not
yeah.
supposed to win. You have to go, Cody.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's get to the trash of the day. I could have had a joke there, but I'll refrain. I'll wait for Karen.
Dang.
Your phone could contribute to hemorrhoids. Did you see this study?
Excuse me?
Yeah, well, it's really a poll.
This is two phone ones. Someone got paralyzed because they were looking at their phone
what?
Too long.
Yeah. So I guess there was a poll out. Your smartphone could lead to a legit pain in your, you know what? Literally, because more than 50 of those that were polled revealed that they use their phones while they sit on the toilet. I'll just read the rest of the article. It says that potty time doom scrolling can lead to extended time on the can. And that extended time on the can could lead to hemorrhoids. Researchers found that taking your phone to the bathroom while you do your business can increase your risk of pain down below, as in hemorrhoids, by 46%.
Okay, so this is going to be the first trash of the day that I'm not the first, but like, what? I cannot relate to this in any way. My trip, I'm not hanging out in there. This is a business trip.
Get in and get out.
I'm there, you know. This is like the thing that like, I guess I would ask regular people, like in a sitcom, this feels like the regular joke. Oh, the sitcom dad is in the toilet for 45 minutes. Are some of you spending 45 minutes in there? Because that's like, get some fiber in your diet or something.
Yeah.
I'm just certain body parts that if they ooze, I'd be careful.
I just get out. I go to the bathroom and I leave. I'm not spending a bunch of free time in there, man. If I want to scroll up my phone, I'll sit on the couch, man.
Yeah, go in, do your thing, and leave. I've always, like, I wondered, essentially, because you have kids, some people said, oh, no, I just need to get away for a little bit. But if you're sitting on the toilet and you're tweeting or you're watching a football game for a half hour, yeah, just go back on the couch, please. Go back on the couch.
Yeah, you should not be sat that long.
Do you watch in Cincinnati Joe Burrow highlights while you sit on the toilet?
No, I do not. I will say this. I went to the bathroom yesterday during the game, and I turned it on for like a couple minutes while I used the restroom and then was done. I didn't just sit there.
So you didn't want to miss part of the game, so you left it on the phone?
Yeah, I mean,
you
could have just missed it.
You could miss a couple of minutes. That's the whole point. How long are you in there for? If I'm in there, I mean, honest to God, if I'm in there more than even 5 minutes would feel like a lengthy amount of time. I'm just going to say, like, for me,
I wasn't
even
in there
that would feel like a lengthy amount of time to spend in the restroom. Unless I'm like violently ill. I got to be really going through it. If that's, if that's the amount of time. Yeah. I don't understand. Who are these? Are you? I guess let us know. 913-586-7965.
I really like the way he worked on, my lower body.
Are you guys spending that much time in the restroom?
No. No, I'm not.
So you're not. Drew, are you team spend hours in the restroom?
Someone says a buddy and their coworker 30 minutes every morning.
That's crazy.
30 minutes.
It's too long. Yeah, that guy probably has hemorrhoids. I guess just know that. Just sitting on there for 30 minutes.
That is nuts.
Oh, what is it? Preparation H? Go get some of that.
Yeah. That is what it is.
That's the trash of the
day. Take care of yourselves.
Up next, the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk more about one player and particular who we have high hopes for tonight, plus looking ahead a little bit, and what will that final stat line that could lead to an MVP season look like for Mahomes?
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Marisa's.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holmes.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Did get a little bit of news in the last 10 minutes or so out of Brazil. The Chargers updating their injury report for tonight's game, adding their guard, Mekhi Becton, to the injury report. He's now questionable with what they're calling an illness, which, like, we don't... We're assuming, what, food poisoning or something?
Yeah, I mean, just caught a bug. Long flight, who knows? But that's not nothing. They're already missing their starting left tackle. I think it's important to note they moved their right tackle to left tackle, so they got a backup left tackle, which means they also have a backup right tackle, which means they also have a backup right guard. And if now you're telling me Mekhi Becton at least is a questionable decision about whether or not he can play... Seems like a pretty good test to find out whether or not your defensive line is going to get some real pressure this year. Feels like you should be able to make it harder on them to get the passing game going. Seems like you should be able to make it harder on them to get the running game going. And look, I don't know what Amarian Hampton will be. Running backs can immediately come onto the scene and be really good running backs from day one. Mm-hmm. I think Najee Harris means nothing. I mean, maybe I'm off. I was never impressed with him the entire time he was in Pittsburgh. Now I just think he's going to be better.
No, but Harbaugh's scheme, he's going to run the football, and he's going to probably use multiple backs, you know? And so that's where I still think he'll have some
role. I guess
I don't fear
Najee Harris. I'm not saying he doesn't have a role. No. I don't fear him as a threat in the game.
Yeah, he's not going to run all over you, but like he's going to be in the game. He's going to play. Amarian Hampton's the only guy in that backfield that has like true breakaway speed that could potentially, lead to
pretty good
big
about
40-plus yard
like
touchdown.
Stopping those. Gold, for as much as their running game defense has been a bit of a sieve occasionally, not all the time. They've had a little bit of trouble in stopping the run over the last couple of years. I don't feel like it's the big runs. I feel like they just get beat for five or six at a time. I mean, you and I have watched, every game.
I have to go look. Yeah, I mean, I look, even
against, that's just on the feeling.
Even against the Eagles, I know the Super Bowl was a disaster, but Saquon Barkley was not running all over them in the Super Bowl. Like, if I would have told you they would have got their butts kicked, you would have thought it was Saquon running all over them. It was just Jalen Hurts carving them up.
It was just, they didn't even have to put up big numbers, man. That game was an embarrassment.
If the Chiefs can, slow down, shut down the run tonight, I think it bodes very, very well for them. Because again, Ladd McConkey's great, but we've gone through the other weapons in the passing game. Not really impressed by who else is going to be available for Justin Herbert in terms of in the passing game. Now, can they use Hampton in the passing game? Sure. Ladd McConkey's the real deal, but Trent McDuffie is more than capable of handling Ladd McConkey, or at least limiting him and forcing somebody else to beat you. Well, that means Keenan Allen rolling back the clock. It means Quinn Johnson out of nowhere coming up with one of his better games.
I'm intrigued to see the rookie, Trey Harris.
Yeah, he might be in game one.
He may be jumping Quinn Johnston before we know it.
True. But rookie wide receivers, unless you're just like an absolute dude, you're Jamar Chase, or you're Justin Jefferson, unless you're one of those guys, rookie wide receivers, I mean, it's not that they can't do good things. They just come onto the scene and there's six catches for 95 yards.
He probably will get
going to be out there.
Yeah, he's going to get an opportunity because Quentin Johnson just got out of concussion protocol a couple days ago. So he's going to play. I mean, he's tall, fast, perimeter wide receiver. They need that in that offense with the Chargers. So yeah, there'll be an opportunity.
Hey, Mike Williams too, right?
He retired. Remember?
That's right. So he came back, and then
And then that's also why they went and signed Keenan Allen. Not that they're the same type of receiver, but like they were just getting really thin in the wide receiver room. So I actually think Keenan Allen will probably have the second most receiving yards for the Chargers tonight.
Least familiar with the way the Chiefs defense operates. On the other side, for the Chiefs offense, we're going to spend a lot of time this year, I'm sure, dissecting the passing game, what it looks like with Simmons, what Hollywood Brown, when Rashee Rice comes back in 6 weeks, what it looks like then. We both, and I think most people, thought it stood out the way Isaiah Pacheco was talking about his upcoming season. And we're talking about a player whose expectations are not nearly as high as they used to be because he's coming off an injured season. But I honestly think Isaiah Pacheco is in for a really good year. This is what he said yesterday when talking about what his motivations were this year.
For me, I'm on a revenge tour. If you know what revenge means, you know what a tour is. I'm on revenge tour.
I love that quote.
It's very good.
You know revenge is? You've heard of a tour? I'm on a revenge tour.
He's a fun personality. We had him on the show during training camp as well, and he mentioned multiple times this was his first full training camp, meaning he's healthy, since his rookie season. I do think that matters. And you always love when someone has a chip on their shoulder because a lot of people, the narrative around him was like, okay, yeah, all right, he's done, you know. But no, he was never healthy. I think he's got, a strong year in him ahead. Last year, if he was fully healthy, I might have said that was it. You know, I think last year I even said, this is his last year where you can count on him. Well, he ended up not playing last year for a majority.
So can you count on him this year?
Yeah, and this is a contract year for Isaiah Pacheco. And I still think they needed some more help in the backfield for him. But he is more than capable of being what he has been prior to last year, which is what? 900, 975, going to have 7 touchdowns or so for you, going to give you a little bit of burst, and then you work in some other guys. I think that's very possible. And in fact, tonight, not just because he said he's on a revenge tour, and I do love the way he said it as well.
I do too.
I think he's going to have a really nice night. In game one, he's fresh. You got something to prove. The way we've been talking so much, obviously, about down the field passing and everything, but watch Isaiah Pacheco be the story of the night. Like, that would not be crazy at all. He's plus 190, I think it is, to get a touchdown. He's 13-1 to get 2. His over-under is 48.5 rushing yards. I think all are in play.
Let me put a little bit of perspective on it, because then I think it'll help you realize how good Isaiah Pacheco was the last time he was fully healthy on the field for the Chiefs. Big chunk of this offseason, Gold, has been spent talking about the Bills running back, James Cook, who had, by all accounts, a phenomenal season last year, did lead the league in touchdowns at 16 rushing touchdowns last year. James Cook, last season, played in 16 games and finished with yards from scrimmage, 1,267. The last year, Isaiah Pacheco was a full starter in the NFL. He finished with 1,180. You were talking about the difference of a couple of yards per game the last time Isaiah Pacheco stepped on the field versus this. And if you're like, well, how many touchdowns score? 10. So as good as James Cook was last year, Isaiah Pacheco was just a half a step back of that performance just 2 years ago. Yeah. And what looked like a year in which he was getting ready to take a big step forward. I still think there is a big year left in Isaiah Pacheco. Is it, and by big, again, I don't mean Saquon Barkley. I don't think he's getting 2,200 yards from scrimmage this year. But do I think he could be one of the 10 to 12 best backs in the NFL if he plays a full 16 games? Absolutely. And that year he finished with 1,179 yards, he only played in 14 games. He played in two less. He was actually a more productive player on a per-game basis than James Cook was last year. So the way I view this is that I'm hopeful that we just get like what you said. We get tonight, and Isaiah Pacheco is one of the stories on Monday. Because, oh, it looks like the juice is back. Revenge tour, as he said. Do you know revenge? Do you know tour?
That's
revenge tour.
Yeah, that was great. I love
that quote.
If you know what revenge means, you know what a tour is. I'm on revenge tour.
You know what revenge mean? You know what a tour is? I'm on a revenge tour. That's a great line. I hope it pays off, you know?
Yeah.
What are your? I think he's going to have 1,100 yards from scrimmage and like 8 touchdowns. That's my prediction for Isaiah Pacheco this year. So yeah. I'm assuming he's healthy. But
Yeah. I haven't thought much on the receiving yards. I just think rushing wise,
you know,
he's a 950 yard back. Let's call it overall from scrimmage touchdown wise. I think he's 6 to 9 touchdowns on the season.
Because I think Kareem Hunt will steal some of those.
Yeah, and by the way, that's really all you're asking from Pacheco this year. In an offense that has Patrick Mahomes and eventually will have Rashee Rice and hopefully Worthy and Hollywood Brown all on the field at the same time at some point
and
by week 7.
Maybe refresh Travis Kelce.
Yeah, absolutely. Heck, he could probably be an 825-yard back and 6 touchdowns, and you would probably take it if we're being real. But I think he'll be in the same 900-plus-yard range.
What's your expectation?
Someone said, all brakes, no gas. That's right. He's had some good quotes.
Yeah. 913-586-7965. What is your expectation for Isaiah Pacheco this year? Over on the text line, again, this goes back to the same thing tonight. Like Mobius is saying, depends on what the offensive line does, right? Isn't that going to play a factor?
The guard, especially the left side.
Joe Tooney was a great run-blocking guard. But in fairness, that's where Kingsley tends to grade out significantly better in run protection than in pass protection. So, like, I don't know. Maybe there's something to the running game this year. If that's where Kingsley thrives, why not take advantage of where his strength is? Maybe they do run over that left side a lot of times. Creed, mm-hmm. Kingsley, and Josh Simmons, you know, might be able to be the road graders you've been looking for a while. Andy's not afraid. This always goes back to Sammy. Andy's not afraid to run the ball if he's got a good running game. He's just never going to run it more than he passes it.
And nor should he. Not when you have Patrick Mahomes, and thinking of Patrick Mahomes, ultimately where this team goes is going to come down to his level of performance. And can he, you know, get back to performing statistically across an entire 18-game schedule like a top three quarterback? He made the big plays when needed. They won 15 games, all right? They were in the Super Bowl. But it is fair to say, statistically, he was not the same type of quarterback. And there's a lot of reasons why that was the case. Yes, it was him. Yes, it was the O-line. And yes, it was the wide receiver room.
I definitely thought he had some happy feet.
So this year, what do you expect number-wise? I'm not asking for, like, ultimately wins are all that matter. But number-wise, last year he had 3,900 yards, 26 touchdowns, 11 picks. The year before, he had 27 touchdowns, 14 picks. And of course, in 2022, 41 touchdowns, 5,200 yards, and 12 picks.
We're not that far removed from him leading the league in touchdowns and receiving yards or passing yards.
Right. Look, I think Patrick Mahomes, with the trust that I believe he will develop if he doesn't already have it, with Josh Simmons and having a legitimate left tackle, that is going to help drastically the happy feet thing you're talking about.
Yep.
Heading into week one, even without Rice, he has better weapons than he had at any point last year. That, to me, is going to equate to the production ramping up. Now, is he going to have 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards again? I don't think we'll ever see that. I just don't. The way teams play, that's a big ask, okay?
He's going to have to play week 17.
And he was 23. Probably. Like, he's got plenty of good football left, but, you know, he's going to have to adjust a little bit. I think Kansas City this year with Patrick Mahomes, it is more than fair to expect 4,500 yards passing. I really believe that. And I think you're going to see 4,500 yards passing. I'll say he's back to like 42 touchdowns. So 45, 42, and I'll still say 15 picks. I do think the picks will be still in the same range.
He's never thrown 15.
He had 14
is his
But if I tell you he has 42 touchdowns and 14
off.
Or 15 picks, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm
predicting a pretty damn good season. It's not going to be his most yards. It's not going to be his most touchdowns. But it's going to still be a much better season statistically for Patrick Mahomes.
I'm slightly more conservative than you. While I still think predicting a pretty good season, obviously, I think he'll finish with 4,400 yards. This is what I wrote down. We didn't like look at the same. So we're 100 yards off on that. I think he'll finish with 12 interceptions, and I had him at 37 passing touchdowns.
That'll play.
And if you're like, 37, is that a lot? Would have been, I don't know, third in the NFL last year, probably. Give or take, fourth. I just had to look it up. Joe Burrow had 43, Baker had 41, Lamar had 41, and Jared Goff had 37.
The numbers I gave you, he's firmly in the MVP conversation. Firmly.
Yes. Honestly, I think they're going to want to give... He's going to get a narrative award just based on the last 2 years. It's so weird for a quarterback of his stature to be able to get the narrative. But because the last two seasons have been so mediocre for them offensively, if he comes back out and he puts the season together, you just said, he has 4,500 yards and 42 touchdowns, he's winning the MVP.
I would hope.
I don't even think it's going to be part of the MVP discussion. I think he does. I do think he's probably winning MVP this year. Like... I don't know.
Probably,
that, like,
you think probably.
When we're talking about the betting end, it's a little tough because he's still one of the guys who gets the worst odds as far as like who you're betting on.
I actually think
I genuinely think this is an MVP.
Yeah, that might be fair. This is about as good of odds you'll get for a Mahomes.
If you're going to bet Mahomes,
I think he's 8-1 at last check. I mean, he's not the favorite to your point, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
But as far as the latest number right now, Jalen Hurts got shuffled around a little bit after last night. Lamar is plus 490, so almost 5-1. Allen 5-1. I guess Mahomes is down to 6-1. He has the same odds as Joe Burrow. And then Jaden Daniels 10-1, Hurts 14-1.
Isn't it crazy that even in a year in which statistically we call that kind of bad for Mahomes, there were only 8 quarterbacks with more passing touchdowns than him, and 2 of them had 2 more passing touchdowns. That's it, 2. Not like
way
more.
How many did he have last year?
26. That was 9th best in the NFL.
How many did Josh Allen have last year?
Josh Allen had 28. He had a lot of rushing touchdowns, so I don't want to just miss it. So you're like, oh, Mahomes, how'd you only have 3,900 yards? Drew, where do you think that ranked amongst NFL quarterbacks?
3,900 yards?
Mm-hmm.
Top 10.
Seventh. Very bad year for poor old Patrick Mahomes was the 9th most passing touchdowns and the 7th most passing yards. The only people with more passing yards last year in the NFL are Burrow, Goff, Mayfield, Geno, Darnold, Lamar. That's it. Those are the only... He had more passing yards than everybody's golden boy, Justin Herbert. He had more than Brock Purdy or Kyler Murray or Stafford or Josh Allen. He had more passing yards than all of those people. And I understand that Josh Allen has an entire running game part, and so does Lamar Jackson, to their season. But, like, not doomsday the way people would make it seem. So if he has better weapons, a better offensive line... 4,400 yards, 37 passing touchdowns, and 12 interceptions, which is what I'm telling you he's going to do, that might be on the low end of the estimate. You might be closer.
We'll
4,000, 4,540 might actually be the better estimate.
A few other texts coming in. Someone says 4,650, 34 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Someone else says 4,500 yards, 40-plus touchdowns, 10 interceptions, regular season MVP. Someone else saying, if you guys think he's going to throw... you know, double-digit interceptions, how many of those are going to be game-costing? Well, it can't be that many. They win 12 games just about every year, so it's not like, I mean, it's not costing them 5 games, if that's what you're saying.
I mean, at maximum, it would cost him 5 in that scenario, and I don't think he'd be the biggest problem in all of them.
One or two games max that you would say he made an interception that, quote-unquote, cost him the game? That's max. I mean, I picked them to go 13-4. I only think they're losing 4 all year. I don't think he's going to cost them all 4 games.
You don't think 8 of his 14 interceptions come at 2 at a time in those 4 losses?
No, I don't. I don't at all.
And interceptions are a weird stat because, like last year's, there are 3 of the interceptions that went off his receiver's hands. Are those ones that I count against him? Like, what the hell did he do?
It's just why
he hit the player in the hands.
Can't just be box score watching. The stats. I know we're doing a conversation about the stat line.
Not even going to talk it. You know what stat I care more about than Mahomes than any of the ones we already discussed? More than any stat that we've just talked about that I care about at the end of the season. Yards per attempt.
Is it check down city or what?
Yeah. If I got to watch another 6.8.
Yeah, but if you think he's getting 4,500 yards though, then we're not worried about check down city.
He finished 26th in the NFL among starting quarterbacks. He was below Anthony Richardson in yards per attempt last year. Will Levis threw the ball further down the field than him last year. More than any stat that we've mentioned. Can you please, please push the ball down the field a little bit? Gold, to your point, if he does finish with between 4,500 and 5,000, 47, whatever, he's going to have to throw the ball down the field more. He's not going to throw it for 6 yards an attempt 50 times per game. those numbers are going to just have to go up. But yeah, just anything besides what existed last year.
Yeah, someone just said, if you think he's throwing 14 or 15 picks, there's going to be that they're going to, it's hard to think they're not going to cost some games. I mean,
that's how many times he's thrown before.
2 years ago, he threw 14 and they were, now he was 10 and he overall was 10 and 6, I think, in that season, but they won 11 games, if I'm not mistaken, right? Wasn't he hurt or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, he was.
2 years ago,
He had like one random game.
And then in a year in which they won 14 games, he had 12 picks. I mean, so no, I don't think there's like an automatic, if you think he's throwing 14 picks, how can you say they're going to win 13 games? I think that's more than plausible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Last year he threw 11, they won 15.
He threw 12 in a year.
Like he threw 7 picks and they won 15 games.
And you might remember that a lot of those interceptions came early in the season from Mahomes last year, and then they just kind of shut the faucet off. You know
people
where his interception
are, people are
gonna
stuck
land.
On the
he
interception
said 12,
number.
13, 12, 14, and 11. In 5 of the last 7 seasons. I think you just kind of know where his interceptions are going to end up. He didn't have 2 years in 5 and 6, but he's like a double-digit guy. He's like a 10 to 12, 10 to 13 interception guy most years. That's fine. That's what he is. I don't expect him to throw 0 yards per attempt. That's
what I care
about. What
about tonight with just the field? Do you think we're going to have to worry about this? I'm a little concerned.
Tell me why I shouldn't be.
Based off of last year, and I know we've had Danan on to talk about it. We had Kling on earlier in the week, and he was explaining some new seeding method, I guess, of the field. And when you talk about the league worth billions of dollars and on a national or international stage, I should say, tonight and the new YouTube contract, and you're dealing with the face of the league in the NFL, and obviously you've got Kelsey, which has brought in so many more fans, and Taylor Swift and all that, you can't have an embarrassment of the field causing injuries, causing guys slipping all over the place. And I understand the Chiefs equipment staff has got all the different spikes and different cleats.
Yeah, they try to prepare themselves.
But last year, it is true, Jordan Love almost missed a huge chunk of the season because of the grass. That just can't happen. It shouldn't happen last year, but that can't happen after you already saw the issue a year ago and you're playing. They're playing the exact same stadium, right? Stadium. So figure it out, NFL. So, no, I'm worried about it, but I do not think it's going to be a problem because I'm convinced that they got this thing figured out.
I am very worried about it. I would love to say, nah, it's fine. They have multiple players, like including Jawan Taylor, who have had knee problems, and they have not been practicing at indoor stadiums. And they specifically gave some of his practice snaps to Jalen Moore as a precaution before they fly him there.
2 years ago, Butker got hurt on bad grass in Arizona.
Absolutely.
McDuffie got hurt in that game. Not because of grass, I don't think.
No, but the first game of the year, they lost multiple players for weeks, months, because of a poor field. To say that I'm zero concerned is insane.
I don't think I'd play Jawan Taylor because of this.
I gotta play my best player. I gotta play my best right tackle heading into week one. And as of right this second, he is the best right tackle. You know, if he struggles because of the injury or footing or just isn't any good, that's a different conversation later in the year if Jalen Moore should get an opportunity.
I just think you don't mess with it.
Yeah, but they haven't talked about like that. That's something they're
it's
that
just more they're gonna
with.
Baby it a huge chunk of the year. He is still coming off the injury, and it's been a little bit sore in camp. Look,
then why would you?
I hope it's not the main story, but I don't think it'll be a non-story.
Why would you mess with it though in week one if they're babying it and he's coming off the surgery and you're going
preseason
and you're on turf that has notably been more injury prone, notably with last season? Why would you? Jalen Moore can't be that much of a fall off of Jawan Taylor to be like, look, dude, we're not messing around with it.
But then why even put him on the plane? You know, Jalen royals him. Just keep him back if that's what you're going to do.
In case Jalen Moore gets hurt, I don't know.
Being protective in preseason and camp is way easier to do and way different than, hey, it's go time. It's week one of the regular season. You know, like same with Hollywood Brown. My guess is last week, if the Chiefs had to play a game, Hollywood Brown would have played. They slowed this thing because of his injury history, yes, but also because it was preseason football.
I don't think he wanted to risk it, honestly. I think that there's some report like that. Hollywood Brown didn't want to risk it, right?
I
don't
want
to get
hurt
before the season starts.
I'm not saying mistakes don't happen, but at this point, especially with how they just operated with the Josh Simmons medical eval, I trust this medical staff more than ever on their evaluation on injury risk and guys being ready to play or not. I mean, how can you not after every other team in the league thought Josh Simmons would not be available? And this medical staff did their own research. They were very confident. They recommended it to Andy and Veach, and they trusted their staff. And boy, oh boy, they were right on the medical side. And I'm going to trust them that they're correct. Yeah. If Jawan Taylor plays, then they feel confident that it's not any different injury risk than any other game. Because, of course, there's always an injury risk. It's the NFL. But I will absolutely trust them heading in that they're not jeopardizing anything with Juwan Taylor by playing on this grass surface tonight or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm just saying I'm worried about it from like, I don't think that he shouldn't play. I'm just worried.
Yeah, I was just responding to Drew.
Yeah,
no,
I don't want it to be the story, but I think it'll be a story. There'll be some play where some guy slips and falls and you're like, oh, probably should have had the coverage there. You just hope it doesn't impact the game. A game in bad field conditions doesn't ruin the whole mood. But as you know, in Arizona, it cost the team multiple players for multiple games. And I pray it's not that.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk about Justin Herbert a little bit. What do we make of him now in 2025? That's coming up next.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.